Department of Agriculture heads are all in Indianapolis this week. CJ Miller has that coming up on the news today on the HAT Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Stop by and visit with one of the friendly associates today at your local branch and chat about your ag operation, or visit ffbt.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Also coming up on today's HAT Podcast, I chat with Carl Setzer from Consus Ag Consulting. We break down market activity today after big gains on Monday. How did we follow through on Tuesday? And we have Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast coming up. The news is next here on HAT.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Why ag leaders from all across the U.S. are in downtown Indianapolis this week. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today on the road at the Westin Hotel in downtown Indianapolis, where the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, also known as NASDA, is hosting its annual meeting. I caught up with Don Lamb, director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, which is hosting the NASDA annual meeting. He and I talked about the opportunity for him to meet with his fellow counterparts in downtown Indy from all across the U.S.
It's really cool that I get to have a national convention like this right here at home. But I really appreciate the chance to get together, like you say, with all the counterparts from across the country. And while our challenges may be different in specific areas, they usually are the same in how we should solve them through communication, through our relationships, and things like that.
HPAI, I hear, is one of the main topics. What can you tell me in terms of some of the conversations regarding not just HPAI, but some other pressing issues involving the ag industry?
That is such a big subject, and it's one that I wouldn't say it caught everybody by surprise, but it sort of did catch everybody by surprise, especially when it moved from the poultry industry into the dairy industry. And I can just tell you that there's been a tremendous response to that, just lots of communication from across the country in a situation where we've never dealt with that before and you're trying to figure it out. There's just been a lot of collaboration. We had a great meeting with the FDA this morning, and you're talking about their part of that, and it's a multi-level response when you have things like this, and you're really talking about human health and animal health together, and those are things that take some coordination. So across the country, it's been really good. Thankfully, here in Indiana, we've not had a case of that in the dairy industry, so that's been positive for us. And there's really been a lot of states that haven't, but there again, we get to be a part of trying to solve that problem. Okay, it's not here, but it could be here, and it might be here tomorrow. So how do we work together, and how do we support those states where they're already dealing with it?
Don, I know that Ted McKinney, Indiana native, has been a big proponent of trade, ag trade, trying to grow the number of ag exports. You've been on a trip with him to Cuba earlier this year. Have there been the conversations about growing the ag trade market during the NASDA annual meeting here this week?
Trade is always a big conversation, and it has been this time too. And yes, that's partly because Ted is passionate about it, and he does a great job of leading that. But yes, NASDA plays a big role in that, and there's a lot of funding that have come down from the federal government. And sometimes the challenge is to spend that money wisely as where we go. Pick where we go, make it a targeted approach, a rifle approach, to where we can have the most bang for our buck. And I can tell you that on the federal level, those dollars make such a difference to us here at the states. In Indiana, we don't spend a lot of money for those trade trips. We really can leverage that money from the federal government, and we get a lot of bang for our buck. When we go on a trip somewhere, where I'll go to Morocco the 1st of December, and when I go on that trip, the amount of money that the Indiana taxpayers, the Indiana folks, have to put out will not be that much, but the potential benefit that we get from those trips is great. So we really try to utilize those federal dollars as best we can.
Don, what are the biggest takeaways that you've come away with over the past few days, having met with your counterparts in the other 49 states and Puerto Rico?
Yeah, well, it's always about relationships. It's always about people. It's always about sharing ideas. And you know, you take those conversations and you build them out. What does that mean for us here in Indiana, and how do we do better at getting ag products out to our customers?
Once again, Don Lamb, ISDA Director. You can hear more of our conversation from the NASDA annual meeting in downtown Indianapolis. It's at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Sabrina Halverson reports now on the goal of one organization to make organic foods more available to young students in schools.
CEO of Organic Valley, Jeff Frank, spoke on getting more local products into school meals.
Yeah, and I think from our perspective, it's been both at a local level and at a national level. We've definitely worked with our trade associations to have the conversations in D.C. about what needs to happen in the school lunch program, and we've actually made some inroads. But also at the local level, you know, our consumers are great advocates for what they want for their own kids. And so we've found also a lot of strength at the local level with just consumer advocacy of what they want in the schools as well.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with a look at your Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Farm Forecast. The setup across the Hoosier State, a little bit drier here over the next couple of days. We are behind the frontal boundary that swept through yesterday, triggering some on-again, off-again heavier rains. I think we are predominantly rain-free for most of the state, all of today, and all of tomorrow. Now, I draw your attention to the Gulf of Mexico. We've got a hurricane trying to churn through the eastern Gulf. I'm looking for this thing to try and make landfall as we move through overnight tomorrow night into Friday in the eastern part of the Florida Panhandle. And as that system makes landfall, I believe we are going to be looking at a plume of moisture trying to work its way northward relatively quickly. The storm does look like it's going to be a little bit stronger. Some are even forecasting it to be a major hurricane, so that's Category 3 or better, before it reaches land. I'm still looking at this in terms of track once it gets here. The Hurricane Center yesterday removed some of that westward spiral that builds the moisture all the way back into western Kentucky, the Boot Heel, Missouri, and the Missouri Valley, and instead says it can go straight north. That's something that makes a little bit more sense to me. And also it is opportunity to bring a little bit of moisture back into the eastern Corn Belt. Predominantly, the big activity seems to want to come together later Friday through Saturday in central and southern Indiana. However, I think the remains of this tropical system will kind of then blend with a minor trough coming through from the west and northwest to trigger on again, off again showers in northern parts of Indiana, as well as Michigan and Ohio, as we move through Sunday and into early Monday. So I think everybody has a chance of rain to finish the week. That means we don't necessarily have a lot of days in between here that we can get into decent harvest, but I do think we have some. Moisture in central and southern Indiana can be anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches from the remains of this system. In northern Indiana, I think we're looking more at a few hundredths to maybe 5 or 6 tenths from late weekend on into early next week. From Tuesday forward next week all the way through the following weekend, we are sunny, we are very warm, we are dry. So after a little bit of a push back on temperatures early in the period, so right after the rain's done Tuesday, Wednesday, we definitely see temperatures climb, and we are above normal for the entirety of next week. Fast drying is on the way, and so I think even though we may constrict our harvest potential here for the rest of this week, trying to dodge these showers, watching the hurricane come up, we do have a wide open window for a large chunk of next week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Soybeans fall well off their highs, but still finish in the green. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'll have final numbers from Tuesday trade coming in just moments, but first let's get market analysis now from Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. And Carl, we started the week off Monday. Great note, double-digit gains across the grain complex. Here on Tuesday, you know, we always have that fear of a turnaround. But this soybean market in particular, right around midday, I was thinking, man, we've got a great chance here to really build on this rally. But here at the end of the day, as you and I chat, the soybean market comes well off its highs, but still not in bad shape after 20-cent increases on Monday. Again, we can't really complain about where we're at here, given where we're at in the season.
Exactly, Eric. And I sit here and look at today's gain. And yeah, we saw those big gains yesterday. Grain's under a little bit of pressure today. Not too surprising there at all. Soybeans really holding in there pretty good throughout the day. Even as meal turned negative, we had those big gains in soy oil spilling over from that crude complex. And as long as we had that, we had gains coming into the soybeans. And I'm starting to see a lot more correlation between soybeans and canola here. And we had canola up over 15 cents here this in today's session, definitely giving some support to the soybeans. So even with today's, less than stellar performance, you could say, following yesterday, I wasn't disappointed with the close we had in soybeans. And really, you know, I would rather chip away at the market with smaller gains to build a stronger foundation. And the grain setting back, seasonal harvest pressure really starting to get on corn a little bit. I think it's going to be pretty well short-lived this year. But there is some concern over the demand numbers. We saw export sales have backed off recently, a big week of export loadings, but we don't want to price ourselves out of the market with a big rally. So when we get into this price range of about $4.10 to $4.15 on December, we do start to see a little more pressure, as we don't want to scare away our import buyers.
And you know, we look at this forecast down in Mato Grosso in the Brazil area. That's still really a primary focus right now of this market, right, Carl? I mean, we're still pretty darn dry down there.
We remain extremely dry in Brazil. And a matter of fact, that is starting to perk up a little bit today. And that's really limited the selling in the soy complex too, Eric. We had reports coming out today from the ethanol officials in Brazil who are already starting to show concern over the sugarcane crop. It is that dry in Brazil that we have a soybean planting delayed. And we're looking at this morning's forecasts and then updated at noon, showing we're a good 2 weeks out from getting any substantial rainfall in Brazil. That puts us closer to that mid-October. In October, 75% of that soybean crop in Brazil gets planted in October. If we start to push that back a little bit, all of a sudden you see corn pressured a little bit, and that sugarcane crop, that sugarcane industry putting out a warning to the ethanol producers. The ethanol industry has taken off, and again, it just snowballs in South America. And all of a sudden now you have some major concerns over what they'll produce when just a few weeks ago we thought they were going to flood the market with some supplies. So a definite change in opinion on that South American market. And not only is it on crops, Eric, but it's also on production. The Paraná River coming out of Argentina, the main artery that they export on, the lowest water level since 1970, really affecting drafts down there. So the weather in South America, the proverbial switch has flipped, and they are at the forefront of the weather market now.
We know a little bit about low water levels here in the U.S. We've had to deal with them on the Mississippi. We know about what happens there in Panama as well with low water levels and how that can impact trade and everything else. So, spoil a lot of things happening globally on that front. It's interesting to me, Carl, that you mentioned that you know, 410 to 415 range on corn, and you know, not wanting to scare away buyers. That area of resistance there. If we go too far below that, what's the next area of resistance? You know, I keep getting, I know farmers are a bit concerned. You know, if we get, you know, below that $4 mark in corn, we get below this $10 mark in soybeans, how low could we go? Like, it's really just this really bad game of limbo that we get into if we get close to these levels. And you talked about concerns on the demand side. Is that something that you're watching here as you kind of guide farmers and what they want to do with their marketing?
I keep a close eye on the technicals, Eric, but I keep them kind of in the proverbial. I think a technical shift in the market can change the direction, and then it starts to feed off fundamentals, and it can happen vice versa too. You'll get fundamental shifts in the market that the technicals can feed off. The problem with the market right now is all the fundamentals, even the South American weather we have, are known. So then we start to look at, okay, is there enough technical support to sustain a rally? And again, we get this 410 to 415 range in here, and even though there maybe even a touch above, but we get in this range, and all of a sudden we start to see this selling pressure. But we don't sell off hard. We set in those contract lows here late August, and we've rebounded considerably from them. I'm not too concerned with us getting much below that, you know, even really that $4 mark right now on corn, because we do have enough fundamental information to hold us up there. And the same really on soybeans. If we can maintain this, so, you know, 10.25 to 10.50 range, what that really is those ranges, Eric, are fair market values. And that's really what the market, the goal of the market is to find fair market values. And that is where we sit within the global market. And that's why I kind of tend to watch those two levels on both corn and soybeans.
We've neglected to talk about wheat here, Carl, but I know as folks take some of these corn and beans off, they'll be looking to put wheat on. Where are we right now with wheat in the global marketplace?
We're sitting really good with wheat right now. Our demand is incredible. Our export sales up 36% from last year. There's a lot more global production issues starting to come online. For one, we talk about the drought in South America on soybeans and corn, but we're also picking up reports in Argentina that wheat fields are just being abandoned because it's been so hot and dry, they've just burnt up. We've also started to see a bit of a shift in that weather pattern in Australia, between the west and the east down there. Western Australia now starting to claim that they're seeing some stress and they're scaling back their production estimates. And of course, the fighting in the Black Sea, Ukraine, Russia, it's getting more difficult to get supplies out of there. And, you know, Ukraine also stating that they're going to cut back on their wheat acreage. So we're really helping the U.S. out here. We did see some pressure today in that wheat complex. We've rallied pretty hard. We hit some technical resistance. But wheat, very closely, the spread between wheat and corn in this feed market, when wheat starts to get up around this $1.80 spread, between wheat and corn futures, we start to see less wheat consumed, a little bit more corn and some other competitive grains. So just like in corn, we have to find a fair market value on wheat. And right now, that's right in that $5.75 to $6 range.
That's Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting. You can find him at consusag.net. That's consusag.net. Or you can just give them a call at 989-506-1587. On Tuesday, December corn was down a penny and three quarters, 4.11 and three quarters. March corn down a penny, 4.30 and three quarters. Novi beans up three, 10.42 and a quarter. Jan up three and three quarters, 10.60 and a half. 10.73 and a quarter on the March, up three and a half. December wheat down four and a half, 5.78. In livestock, December live cattle up 57 cents, 184.40, and December lean hogs up a dime, 74.97. That does it for the Tuesday Farm Market Review, the Wednesday morning podcast. We'll do it again tomorrow. Same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.